So what we are doing with our life? Waiting to die. Born and then just wait to die. And kill the time while we are alive. Huh? But we call it differently. We call it we live. Yeah. But what we do? Yeah. I mean, when we are born, what do? Yeah. We wake up. Yeah. We eat something. We move the body. We eat something again. Then we do something. And then we go to sleep. And every day is the same thing. We wake up, we eat something, we do something, we eat something, we do something, and then we go to sleep. What kind of life is that? But we never look at this in this way. Huh? We look at it, we do this, so we travel, you know, travel is different, you know, then we wash, then we eat, then we wash our clothes, then we talk, then we do this and do that, because we have lots of different names for doing. But when you look at the body, talking is a body movement. Washing is a body movement. Walking is a body movement. It's all body movement. We move this heavy body, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 kilos around, wherever we go. What's the purpose of it, We call it differently. And some of the things that we call it, we like, and other things that we call it, we don't like. We don't like, for instance, we don't like to sweep, so we don't like that. But sweeping is just moving the arms, Windy. It's just moving the arms. So what is the difference, I mean, when we eat, we also move the arms, But we move the arms to the mouth, When we wash our clothes, we don't like it so much, but we also move the arms and move maybe the upper torso, and so on. I mean, everything, everything is just, when you decompile it, it's just the movement of the body, Talking, It's all about the body, I mean, even if we sit down, and listen to something, it is also body, sensation of the body. Seeing something is sensation of the body, Thinking, what we like to do most of the time, 24 hours a day, and we can't even stop it, It's a sense of the body, We think, and we imagine this and we imagine that. But when we look at our life, when we are born as a human being, and we just look at the life of a human being, because, being born in the ghost realm or being born in the deva realm is very different. When we look at the life of a human being, when we are born, what do we do the first 15, 16 years, We train the body. The first thing we train is, the food that comes in normally goes out just the same way. So we train to digest, So that the body gets some strength and can grow. And then we learn to walk, and then we learn to talk, and then we learn to think, And then when we are 16, we have all the power, all the energy of the body to use it for our own purpose. But then at the age of 16, we have to start to work for our body, Before that, our parents looked after our body and looked after our needs. And then after the age of 16, we have to look, So we have to go to work 8 hours a day, five days a week, We have to work for this body to get some food, get some clothing, to get some medicine, And to get somewhere to stay, An apartment. And we do that for 40, 50 years, And then we retire, And then we still have to look after the body, but we might not have to work, But some of us nowadays have to work even until they're 70 or 80, Because they can't make ends meet. So what is it, I mean, think about this in this way, I mean, reflect about the human life, And what is it, what is it worth it, Why are we born, Nobody asked the question, why am I born? Why am I born in the situation I'm born into? We're just born, and we just do whatever everybody, we look around what other people are doing, that's what we're doing, happy. We get married, you know, we have children, you know, and we work, you know, and then at the end of our life we think, yeah, there must be something else to this life, yeah? And then just working, you know, getting children, you know, and then dying. There must be a purpose of this life. And that's where the Lord Buddha comes in. He says, you know, I mean, of course, you know, I mean, this human life, yeah? It is, first of all, you know, it is very difficult to become a human life. When you look at the Buddha's teaching, you know, I mean, there, what is it, 31 of realms of existence, yeah? And we are on the fifth level, yeah? So below us is the animal realm, then there's the ghost realm, on the hungry ghost realm, and then the demon realm, and then the hell realm. That's below us, yeah? Above us are the 25 heavenly realms, yeah? Starts with the Rukha Devas, or what we call it, how did we call it, fairies, you know, and so on, and goes up and up and up, up to the highest gods, yeah? So when we come a human being, and the Lord Buddha said, it is very precious, you know, it is not normally that we become a human being, it is very precious to become a human being. And we should use the chance that we are a human being, you know, to search out for the Dhamma, to search out for the way out, yeah? He called in the human life the jumping board, yeah? The jumping board out of the cycle of birth and death, yeah? But what do we do with our life? Do we use it as a jumping board? No, I mean, we use it for our pleasure. We run after all the things that we like and avoid all the things that we dislike. That is normally our life, yeah? And in the meantime, we have to work very hard. And going back, you know, going back to the body. So we train it for 15 or 16 years, yeah? Then we can use it with full strength, maybe for 30 years, yeah? Until we are 45, yeah? And then it slowly decays, yeah? It's getting worse and worse and worse until, you know, there's no more air that comes in, you know, and then we call it death, yeah? And then the next life, you know, it's the same thing, yeah? The moment we are born as a human being, again, yeah, I mean the same thing over and over again, yeah? And there's no end to it. I mean, it is like a roller coaster, yeah? With no beginning and no end. Or the Lord Buddha called it a circle, you know, and a circle has no beginning and end, yeah? And that's why he said, you know, I mean, this human life is very precious. But why is this human life very precious? Because we can see dukkha, dissatisfaction, and satisfaction to approximately the same amount. Yeah. People who are in the heaven, they see so much, they have so much satisfaction, they are so happy. Yeah. They don't think about. And think about the people, you know, who seem to be happy and contented in, they don't look for a way out. And people who have too much dukkha, they also don't look for a way out. It's only the people, you know, who have some dukkha and who have some sukha. Sukha is, you know, is happiness or satisfaction, yeah? They see, you know, I mean, there's dissatisfaction, there's satisfaction, you know, I mean, but what is it all about? They, yeah, can find the way out. People who have too much dukkha cannot find the way out. People who have too much sukha or too much happiness, they're not willing to buy because they're happy, you know. If I'm happy, I don't look for the way out, huh? And when we look at people, you know, that we know, I mean, when they are happy, contented, yeah? But if people have too much dukkha, you know, and they have no sukha in their life, then... then they don't find it, you know, because they have to make ends meet, yeah? So they worry constantly about, do I have enough food, do I have enough food, do I have, you know, do I have clothes, you know, and so on. They don't even have time, you know, to do the practice. They don't even have time, you know, to think about why am I born or what is the purpose of my life. Because that is for people, you know, who have some time, yeah, who don't have to work all the day, you know, just to feeding the body or maintaining the body. They have some time, yeah, and have some some happiness or some contentment and some unhappiness in their life. They think, you know, what is it all about? What is the purpose of our life? And then they can ask, yeah, and that's where the Lord Buddha comes in with his teaching, yeah, the teaching, you know, of the Four Noble Truths. What is the first noble truth? Yeah, there's dukkha. Every being, no matter where it is, even if it is in the highest heaven, has dukkha. Yeah? That is the first noble truth. What is dukkha? Dissatisfaction. Yeah? Dis-ease, restlessness, pain, and suffering. Yeah? That is dukkha. It's a container for all these unpleasant things. Yeah, it's unpleasant discomfort, dis-ease, and so on, and so on, and so on. Yeah, and then he said, "Okay, the second noble truth. What is the cause for our dukkha? Yeah? What did he say? You know, desire, our wanting. We want to have this, or we want to have that, and we want to become this, and we want to become that. Yeah, but when we are 15 or 16, we want to become an engineer, or we want to become a politician, or this, or that, or that. Yeah, wanting, wanting, wanting. Yeah, this creates a dukkha. Yeah, because most of the time we don't get what we want. Yeah, and when we don't get what we want, then we have dukkha. And most of the time, we meet with the things that we don't want. Yeah? That is also dukkha. Yeah? So not wanting something, not wanting to meet this person, or not wanting to be in the situation, is also dukkha. Yeah? So wanting, the desire for having things, or not having things, yeah, or not having this, being this, in this situation or that situation, that creates all the dukkha in our life. So, what is the solution? Not wanting. Yeah? But can we do that? No. We constantly want. Yeah? I mean, you just look at a simple life, you know, that we lead in this monastery. Now we want to drink something, now we are tired, we want to sleep, now we want to rest, now we want to walk, now we want to move the body, now we want this, now we want that. We're constantly wanting things. Yeah? There is no end to the wanting, yeah? I mean, it's just like a fire, and the more we give in to the wanting, the bigger the fire becomes, yeah? It's just throwing wood or just throwing oil onto the fire, you know? I mean, it just explodes more and more and more, yeah? It's the same thing with the not wanting, yeah? The more we dislike something, you know, I mean, the more it creates dukkha, the more it throws fire onto these things. Then he proclaimed the third noble truth, and then he said, you know, there's an end of dukkha. Yeah? That's a happy statement. So, I mean, we can overcome dukkha. Yeah? We can overcome this dissatisfaction. And then he taught us the fourth noble truth, the path that leads to the end of dukkha, and that is the path that we normally, you know, we should follow, you know, when we are ordained or when we come here to the monastery. And it is a part of Sila, Samadhi, and Panya. Sila is the five precepts, keeping the five precepts. Yeah? Samadhi is the ability to concentrate and focus on one point. Yeah? And developing, also yeah, very important, developing sati, this awareness of knowing what is going on within ourselves or within our heart. And then the third one is panya, the development of wisdom. And the development of wisdom is done through vipassana, insight meditation. Meditation that leads to insight. And we normally, you know, what we do is investigation. Investigation of the things, yeah, I mean the Lord Buddha said it very clearly, investigation of the things that we believe we are. And what do we believe we are? Yeah, when we look at our life, yeah, when you think, you know, you meet a new person, what do you do? Yeah, I mean, you present yourself. How do you present yourself? In the terms of the five khandhas. First of all, you present the body. It is very important. Yeah, I mean, if you want to meet a nice person, I mean, you dress orderly, you know, I mean, you wash yourself, you know, so you present the body. Then you present your thoughts, then you present your feelings, and then you present your memories or ideas and all sorts of things. Yeah? So these are four khandhas. Yeah? The fifth khandha is consciousness. Yeah? We are normally not aware of this consciousness, yeah? Because it seems to be there all the time. That's how we present ourselves. So the ego or our personality is within these five khandhas. There's nothing in our personality that we can say it is not within the five khandhas. And that's why the Lord Buddha said, you know, I mean, investigate these five khandhas and see them as anicca, anatta, and dukkha. anicca, impermanent. We all know things are impermanent, yeah? I mean, there's the rainy season, there's the dry season, and there's a hot season. In the West, you know, there are four seasons, yeah? There's the the cold season, and then there's spring, and then there's summer, and there's autumn. Things change. Every year changes, you know, it comes back to the same or similar things. Yeah? Also our nature changes, our body changes. First we are young and then we grow middle-aged, you know, and then we grow old. Yeah? So, I mean, we become tall and then later on, you know, we shrink. Yeah? And in the end, you know, we die. So things are changing. The second, yeah, rupa, vedana, feeling. They constantly change. Yeah? They're there. In the next moment, another feeling comes up. In the next moment, another feeling comes up. And another feeling. They're constantly changing. Yeah? One moment I'm happy, the next moment I'm sad, you know, then I'm depressed, then I'm lonely, then I'm this, and then I'm that, you know, and so on. Yeah? And we always say, I am. Yeah? But, you know, we are talking now about just anicca. Yeah? Impermanence. These things are changing. Our thoughts are changing. Just think about your life. You know, what did you think 5 years ago? What did you think 10 years ago? What did you think 20 years ago? What did you think 30 years ago or 50 years ago? Huh? Are they the same thoughts? No. Thoughts are changing, constantly changing. Memories are changing. We gather some new ones, some old ones get lost, you know, and yeah. They are not always the same. And the last khanda, you know, is consciousness. Yeah? And consciousness is also changing. There are states, you know, I mean, if you have enough sati, there where we can see that consciousness is not always there. Yeah? It comes one mind moment, there's consciousness, and then it disappears, and then the next mind moment, there's again consciousness. So these things are changing. All of these five khandhas, the Lord Buddha said, all of these five khandhas are constantly changing. Yeah? That is one, anicca, anatta. Whatever is changing is not me. Yeah? Whatever, or like I say, you know, whatever we can observe cannot be me. I can observe the feeling. How can it be me? Who is the one who observes the feeling? Who is the one who knows that there is a feeling? Huh? Who is the one who gives a label onto this feeling, that it's a good feeling or bad feeling or neutral feeling? Who is this? Who is this? Yeah? Who is that one? So these things are not myself. Yeah? I mean, if feelings would be mine, just like clothes are mine, you know, or a house is mine, if I don't like this house, I move to another house. Yeah? But if I don't like the feeling, I cannot change it. You know, if it is a unhappy feeling, I cannot change it instantly to a happy feeling. Because it's not me, it's not mine, it doesn't belong to me. Yeah? That is the teaching of anatta. Yeah? Feeling is just like a cloud. It comes, yeah, it stays on for a little while and then it goes. Yeah? And we have not, we should have noticed that. Yeah? But we attach to them. We attach to these feelings. Oh, I'm tired. It's also a feeling, the feeling of tiredness. Yeah? I'm in pain. I attach to this feeling and then I cannot do anything. But when I say, you know, for instance, there is a feeling, there is tiredness, then I can look at it. There is disheartenment, then I can look at it. There is sadness, then I can look at it. Yeah? There is restlessness, then I can look at it. Ah, how does it feel? You know, how does it feel like? Yeah? There is restlessness, okay, look at it, you know, observe it. But the moment I say, I am restless, you know, it's gone. I cannot observe myself. Yeah? That's why it is a very important principle. Yeah? To detach ourselves from the feelings, or from the memories, or from the thoughts. Yeah? Well, I constantly say, I think like this, I think like that. Yeah? I mean, just say, there is a thought, you know, it doesn't belong to me. It just, you know, it just happens, you know, to cross the sphere of my consciousness. Just like people when you're in the city, you know, people walk by. Do you call them me, mine, or I? Huh? No. But you see them. You see them crossing by. And some people look nice and other people don't look nice, you know? Yeah? And it's the same with thoughts, yeah? They come, you know, pass by and then gone, yeah? Thoughts, the same thing. They come, you know, stay on for a little while and then go, yeah? And memory, it's the same thing. It's not me, it's not mine, myself. Whatever I can observe cannot be me. I can observe this, it's a spittoon, yeah? Do I call it me? No. When I observe this hand, I call it instantly me. Huh? I can move it, but I can also move this spittoon. Huh? Why do I call this me and this not me? Huh? We can look at this body, we can look at it, you know, we can see it, we can feel it, yeah? I mean, with feeling, we can feel it. Huh? But who knows these things? Who sees these things, or who experiences it? Yeah? When a thought comes in, who knows that there is a thought? Huh? That's a thought, no? I mean, you can try it out. Huh? Next thought that comes in, do you know your thought? What do you think the thought will answer? Huh? Yes, I know I am a thought. I'm a bad thought. I'm a good thought. You know, I'm this kind of thought or that kind of thought. No. There's somebody who sits, you know, just like somebody, you know, sitting in a cafe, you know, I mean, and watching the people passing by, who says, oh, this is a woman, this is a man, this is a, you know, this is a beautiful woman, this is an ugly woman, this is a nice man, this is an ugly man, this is an old man, this is a young man, or on and so on. So they're sitting somewhere inside here, and this is called the citta, yeah, the prime mover of everything, yeah, that decides what it sees or what it crosses its consciousness. Eh? And because of, you know, deciding, you know, what we see, yeah? I mean, there are likes and dislikes coming up, yeah? Through association, yeah? Through memory and association. This is one of the khandhas. Yeah? Instantly, you know, a like comes up or a dislike comes up. And this is something that we have to understand, and we have to pull ourselves away from it and make this more neutral. And say, there's a thought, it doesn't belong to me, it just came. I didn't invite that thought, did you? I mean, when you sit in meditation, you know, Buddha, 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 Buddha. I mean, did you invite the thought to come in to disturb you? No. I mean, just like the people you want to sit, you know, you sit in a nice forested area and think, ah, this is so completely calm. And then a group of, you know, children come, you know, and play around. Did you invite them? No. Yeah? But they disturb your peace. Yeah? Just like the thoughts, you know, when you are sitting in meditation, Buddha, 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 ah, this thought. And then somebody comes in, this thought is so important, let me think it out. Yeah? Or this thought is so ugly, you know, I don't want to have this thought. Yeah? So somebody must be in there who knows all these things. And that is the practice of meditation, to get to this knowingness of the citta. To get to this one who knows, and then to see how it does, you know, this association, how he puts the labels on. This is nice, this is not so nice, this is what I like, this is what I don't like, this is this, you know, this is the sound of, you know, sound of birds, or sound of wind, or sound of rain, or sound of this, yeah? Or this is the sound of a human being. This is English, or this is Thai, or this is whatever, you know, whatever language it is. Yeah? I mean, who says that? Huh? So meditation, you know, and especially samatha meditation is there, you know, to bring us to that one who knows. Yeah? And there is the meditation where we focus, where we close our eyes, you know, we do the sitting meditation or the walking meditation. Now let's talk about the sitting meditation first. We sit down, you know, we close our eyes and we focus either around the tip of the nose on the breath, yeah, feel and know that the breath comes in, know that the breath goes out, know that the breath is coarse, know that the breath is shallow, know that the breath is subtle, know that it is the in-breath, know that it is the out-breath. By not following the breath in or out. Yeah? This is very important. One point, yeah? And it will become clear, you know, in a few minutes, yeah, why it is so important to have one point. If you have a point of reference, you know when the mind moves out to move somewhere else, yeah? moves to a thought or moves to a feeling, moves to this or moves to that. But if you stay at that point, you instantly see when the mind moves, yeah, or when the citta moves out, yeah. And then you pull it back, and then you pull it back. And most of our meditation practices just pull the mind back to the object that we are observing. That is the samatha practice. Be it the breath, or be it, you know, be it the object of Buddha or Dhamma or Sangha, yeah. And when we don't think Buddha, you know, and when the mind goes out and thinks about something else, then we will pull it back to the Buddha. And by pulling it back, that's where we need the energy and the determination and the effort to actually pull the mind or pull the citta back to the Buddha. Yeah? Because it doesn't want to go. You know, it is just like our dogs, yeah? They don't want to be on the leash, they want to be free, yeah? We want to run around, yeah, just like our mind, you know, it constantly wants to run around. Think about this, think about that, imagine this, imagine that, yeah. And that's why we have to train it, you know, to focus it on one point, yeah. Until the mind gets calm, until the mind sticks with the Buddha, or sticks with the, you know, sticks with the breath, yeah. And when the mind gets calm, you know, there are no more thoughts coming in and no more memories coming in. And what is that? If there is no thought, no memory, huh? There is no future, and there is no past. There is just this one moment of pure experience. Yeah? And there is nobody who takes hold of this experience. So the ego has gone. Just like, you know, in the famous proverb, you know, of this cup, cogito ergo sum. I think, therefore I am. The moment I stop thinking, I'm not there anymore. And that is something that we can experience. And we are so happy when we experience it. Because there is no thought, there is no worries, there is no future, you know, we don't have to worry about any future, there is no past, we don't have to worry about any past. There is just this one moment and we are completely satisfied. And this is called samadhi or upachara samadhi. We still experience, you know, feelings coming up, you know, and it is like sitting in a glass house where we do know, you know, far away, you know, there's a thunder or there's rain or there's voices and so on. But we are in the safe house, in this glass house, you know, and we don't want to get out because it's nice, it's cool, it's refreshing, and there's nothing, you know, and we are completely satisfied. And this is something that we have to achieve, you know, to understand that there is something beyond the things that we can experience in the world. Most of the people, you know, think, you know, their happiness comes from buying this or experience this, you know, traveling here and traveling there or, you know, having this or having that, yeah? That is the happiness of the ordinary people. Or having a loving partner, yeah? I mean, that can be a happiness. That can be absolutely happiness. But there's a happiness that is going beyond these things where we don't need anything. And this is, we can only experience that in samadhi, when there's no more thoughts and when there's no memory. So there's no more desire, yeah? But the moment we come out of samadhi, we instantly want something. And then we see, you know, when we go often into samadhi and come out, we see that this desire, wanting something, creates all this dukkha. Huh? And all these hassles, all this stress, and all whatever you call it, yeah? It creates just dukkha, yeah? And then we go back into samatha, you know, we go back into samadhi, and then we are happy, yeah? And then we go out, and then we become unhappy, yeah? Or we got frustrated, or we can't get back into samadhi, and we get even more frustrated, yeah? So this upachara samadhi, yeah? It is important. And then, when we are in upachara samadhi and enjoyed it for a while, we still continue with our breath at the tip of the nose or with our buddha, yeah, until it slowly focuses in onto one point, yeah. So until the mind slowly becomes one-pointed, yeah. So subject, you know, the subject and object. The subject, you know, observes the object. So the subject, you know, observes the breath, or observes the Buddha, you know, or repeats the Buddha, and pulls the citta back to the Buddha. Yeah. When the subject and object merges into one thing, this is amazing. This is a wonder. Yeah. Because the whole world disappears. There's no more world, there's no more universe. And all what remains is the basic nature of the citta, the knowingness. Yeah? And you can't say anything, you can't even say, you know, I mean, because one moment you dive in, and the next moment you dive out. I mean, and within this moment that you think it was just one moment, because one moment you dive in, yeah, you don't know anything, you know, there's just this pure knowingness that has no object. And the next moment you dive out, I mean, hours could have passed without you knowing it. Yeah? Only when you look at your watch and say, oh, 5 hours have passed. Yeah, where did they go? I just dived in, you know, and just came out again. Yeah? Because there is no more universe. Yeah? So then you see when you come back into this universe, I mean, this is just an illusion. We live somewhere in an illusion, you know, that all these things do exist. Yeah? But when we retract from this universe, you know, I mean, there is no universe. We go back, you know, to the nature of our citta. It is just like, you know, I mean, in modern days, you know, video games, you know, you play a video game, you're immersed in this video game. Or if people didn't play video games, I mean, think about a very nice, very interesting, very fascinating movie, yeah? You get sucked into this movie, yeah? And for 2 hours, you're gone, yeah? And when you come out, you know, when the movie ends, you know, you come back to yourself, yeah? It's the same thing, you know, with the video game. You get sucked into the video game, you know, and you act up, you know, and you act up, you know, until it says game over, yeah? You died, and then you come back, yeah? And what do we do want to do? Yeah, we want to watch the next movie or want to watch, you know, or play the next video game, yeah? And that is a good simile to our one life after the other, yeah? One life, you know, is one video game, and then the next life is another video game, yeah? Or, you know, a movie, you know, it's one life is one movie, yeah? And when you recall, you know, when you watched a movie, there was an interesting movie, yeah? I mean, you wanted, you know it were pictures, huh? You know it were moving pictures. But you fell for the story, you got sucked in, you know, you wanted this person, you know, to do this and that person to do that. You got angry about this person, you got angry about that person, and sometimes you wanted even to change the script of the movie. Why is the bad guy not being caught? Yeah, why does he got free away? Why, you know, why doesn't see the good guy, the bad guy doing something? Yeah, so you want to change the script of the movie. But you know, actually, you know, I mean, you're fooled, yeah? Because actually, you know, I mean, it's just pictures running around, yeah? One after the other, pop, 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 yeah? So fast that we can't see, you know, the end of one picture and the beginning of the next picture. They merge into each other, yeah? And there's, for this, you know, I mean, you can see it's the same with the consciousness. One moment of existence, you know, merges in with the next moment of existence, and the consciousness is so fast that we can't catch you. That the black bar, you know, there used to be the black bar, you know, right? Between each picture, yeah? We can't catch that. Very short moment, yeah? So we think it is a continuum, but actually it's not a continuum. It's just, you know, it's just one moment after one moment, yeah? Tuck, 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 yeah? And we get tucked in, yeah? And that is why we have anicca anatta dukkha, yeah? Why we should, you know, reflect about the khandhas, to be anicca, impermanent, yeah? And to be anatta, not me, not mine, and not myself, and to reflect about the dukkha, the dissatisfaction or the dis-ease about these things when we attach to them. If we don't attach to them, you know, if we see them as they are, you know, I mean, we have no problems about this world. We are completely happy, yeah? But can we? No. Yeah? We want this to be this, we want this to be that, we want this kind of food, you know, we want that kind of food, we want these kinds of clothes, we want that kind of hairstyle, we want to look like this or like, yeah. I mean, there's constantly this wanting, you know, that creates all this dukkha. And this is, you know, why the Lord Buddha gave us these three, yeah? Anicca, anatta, dukkha, you know, to investigate the 5 khandhas, the things that we believe it is us, yeah? And how much, you know, just look at your life, how much do you believe that the body is you, Yeah? I mean, is this the main purpose of your life is this body. I mean, all what you worry about is this constantly this body. You know, when it is sick, you worry to death about this body. Maybe it dies. And then after the sickness is gone, you don't think about, you know, death anymore. Huh? Ever experienced that? Huh? When you were really sick, yeah? Huh? And then, I'm going to die. Huh? And then after the sickness, after a week or after 10 days, you know, the sickness is gone when it was really a bad cold, yeah? Nobody thinks about death anymore. But while we are sick, I'm going to die. Yeah? All these things, you know, I mean, yeah? Who is worrying? We constantly worry about this body. We mend this body, we try to mend this body as long as we can, yeah? But in the end it has to die. And we know that when we are born, we're going to die. I mean, we have never seen a person or a being, you know, that has not died. Yeah? And that holds true for all realms of existence. Yeah? I mean, we know it from animals, they die, yeah? Some of them have a short life, yeah? Like a fly, you know, one day fly, you know, and yeah, until a turtle who can have 150, 160 years of life, yeah? And so on, yeah? Ghosts, you know, I mean, have a certain time, you know, where they are in the ghost realm. In the hell realm, the same thing. Nothing is permanent. That's what the Lord Buddha wanted to teach us. Nothing is permanent. Yeah? If you go to hell, sooner or later we come out. Yeah? If you go to heaven, sooner or later we fall down. Yeah? And that's why I call it roller coaster. You know, very difficult to get up. Yeah? But very fast we fall down. Yeah? And then we go up again and then fall down again. And then we go up again and fall down again. Sometimes it's higher, sometimes it's not so high. Next time you have a look at the roller coaster and see. Yeah? There's no beginning, there's no end. It's just looping around. Yeah? Just like samsara, just like the Lord Buddha said. Yeah? Unless we find the way out. And to find the way out is this investigation, is this development of wisdom, or is this vipassana, meditation that leads to insight. And meditation that leads to insight is through investigation. And the first thing that we investigate is this body. When you think you are this body, you have troubles, yeah? Huh? Now take an example. Think about very carefully. You are born in a car. You die in the car, and you have never gotten out of the car. How can you not believe that you are the car? Huh? But the driver, we know, everybody knows that the driver and the car are two different things. When the driver sleeps in the car, you know the car doesn't go anywhere. And that is the same thing that you can actually experience in Upachara Samadhi or even in Apana Samadhi. The body doesn't move. So the driver is at sleep, yeah, while it is fully awake, yeah. The driver is at sleep. The body doesn't move a bit. Nothing happens, yeah, except for the heart and the lungs, yeah. Even in Apana Samadhi, I mean, the heart stops and the lung stops, you know. The minimal, yeah. That's why you can't stay so too long in it, yeah. Maybe up to 7 days in Apana Samadhi, in the deep state of Samadhi, and then you come out, yeah. And then you just start your car again, you know, and then drive off. Yeah? So it is very difficult for us to understand that we are not the body. Yeah? And that's why we have to investigate it over and over and over again. There's a body, you know, I mean, this body, yeah, has a changing nature, and it is not me, it's not mine. It doesn't follow me, yeah. it doesn't do what I say, yeah. I mean, if it is sick, it doesn't, when I tell it, you know, to get healthy, you know, it doesn't do it, yeah? And when I get old, I say, you know, I don't want to get old, you know, it still has its own nature, yeah? And the one who drives this body is the citta. It's the driver of the body. And this is something that we really do not know, yeah? And that's where samatha comes in, you know, to get get an inkling of this citta, to get an inkling of this knowing nature. Of course, if we could go into apana samadhi, I mean, we would have a really deep insight, you know, into the true nature of the citta. But most of us are not able to do it, you know, because it takes a lot of effort, yeah. It takes a lot of effort, yeah. But upachara samadhi is enough, yeah. I mean, get the mind calm until it is powerful enough and then start to investigate the body. What is the body? Yeah? Is the brain the body? Is the heart the body? Is the lungs the body? Is the colon the body, you know, or is the stomach the body? What is it? Is it the foot the body, or is it the leg the body, or is it the arm the body? It's just body parts, yeah? And so disassemble it, you know, and look at the body parts and then ask, where is the body? Yeah? Just body parts, yeah? Put together, assembled, just like we assemble nowadays a robot, yeah? And then when we assemble a robot, we have to program it, don't we? Yeah? That's what we do for 16 years, yeah? We teach it, you know, to walk, we teach it to talk, you know, we teach it to think, yeah? Look at a program, look at a video where it shows, you know, how difficult it is to teach, you know, to teach a robot, yeah, who doesn't really know anything, just like when we come out of the womb, yeah, we don't know anything, you know, we don't even know how to breathe, yeah, somebody needs to help us, you know, to breathe, yeah, and then we start breathing, you know, and then we start to learn how to digest, and then we learn how to walk, and so on, yeah. So this body has nothing to do with the citta, yeah? But the citta is the mover, yeah? And you will see that and you can experience it when you're in upachara samadhi, the body doesn't move. Yeah? Now at the moment it constantly moves. Yeah? So see it, understand that you are not the body. Yeah? And why do we take on this body? I mean, it's a good question that we should ask ourselves. Why do we take up all this burden? You know, we have, most of our life we have to work for this body. Huh? We have to work to be able to eat, yeah, to clothe ourselves, to buy medicine and to find a housing. Yeah? Most of our life we have to work very hard for it. And then at the end, you know, of our working day we are so tired we don't want to do anything, yeah? Most of the time. 100 years ago, you know, I mean, people had to work even on Saturdays. They had only maybe half a day of free time. Yeah? Nowadays, you know, we have it much better. You know, we have 5 working days. Yeah? So we have at least, you know, a weekend, you know, where we can relax, you know, and do other things, you know, think about, you know, about our life and think about what is important in our life. Okay? Understood?